Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's a great song. Play the song for a second, Cyrus. This is Chris Rea. The song is Josephine. Very nice song. Josephine. All right. Hey, I have an idea. Let's go to Josephine in Union City, New Jersey. See what I just did there, Josephine?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that song? It's a great song.
What? Hey, Josephine?
Yeah, it's not Hey, Josephine, just Josephine by Chris Rea. Awesome song.
Yes, everyone used to sing that to me when I was younger.
Nice, nice, good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, my question, I hope I can put it together correctly. I am kind of feeling guilt, I guess I would say. I was born Catholic. I was born in Sicily.
Okay.
And went to a Catholic school pretty much my whole life. I was in a Catholic boarding school in Rome for a number of years. But I was never into my faith like I should have been. I, you know, fornicated with my boyfriend. And back then, I really wasn't set on whether I believed in abortion or a woman's right to choose or pro-life. I really didn't give it much thought. But now that I'm older and I understand, and I actually almost feel guilty because if I would have gotten pregnant at that time, mm-hmm. I probably would have had an abortion mm-hmm. because of my family and because of, you know, you just don't do something like that. And it's just something that I struggle with inside because I'm so pro-life now.
Yeah,
that it's a guilt. It's like a heaviness on my heart that mm-hmm. I feel that I probably would have done that, and I just don't know if that would be a sin.
Let's talk about that.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's dissect the anatomy of sin first of all. A sin is the result of your free will choice to do something that you know is contrary to God's plan for you. So if you know right. that God, you know, as you do know, that God said, thou shalt not kill, the fifth commandment, that encompasses the sin of abortion, among other sins, and you know that, and you say, well, I'm going to have an abortion anyway, and then you have the abortion, okay? That's where the sin is located, because you knew something was wrong and you went ahead and did it anyway. Okay? So you, in this case, did not do that. What you're doing now is you're looking back and analyzing, which is good. This is a very mature thing to do, to look back and reflect upon what your attitudes were at the time. And it's an act of honesty to say, if I had gotten pregnant then, I probably would have had an abortion. But the key is you didn't have an abortion. So you didn't actually commit a sin. Now, you can grieve over the fact that you were young and stupid, or that you were lost or misled, or any of the other things that we all experienced in one way or another when we were younger. You can grieve over that fact, and you can be sad. Gee, Lord, I really am sad that there was a time when I was far from you. But thank you, Lord, for bringing me close to you now. That's different from feeling guilty over a sin, because in this instance, you didn't commit a sin. So there's nothing to feel guilty about. So I think what's more likely happening, Josephine, is that the feelings that you're experiencing right now are difficult maybe to distinguish from actual guilt of committing a sin. If I can offer you, not a parallel, but let me offer you something similar to this. Have you ever had the experience mm-hmm. where in a dream you do something really sinful and then you wake up? And have you ever had that happen where maybe for a short time you're trying to remember, did that really happen or did I dream that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, okay, yes. Okay, because that happens to me too. So in a dream, if I've dreamt that I've done something really sinful, I can think of any number of times when I've woken up and I'm really horrified and bothered, and I have to stop and say to myself, wait a minute, that was just a dream. I didn't actually do that. So there's nothing to feel guilty for. But you may be confusing what is, you know, on the one hand, guilt over a sin that you committed with sorrow or sadness that you were not living up to your faith the way you did. Now, that in itself, I mean, there may be some sinful issues involved there, but it should always be tempered with that sense of gratitude and joy that you have been forgiven and that God has drawn you close to him. And so many of the great saints, don't forget this too, so many of the great saints lived wicked lives before their conversion. I love St. Augustine. He's one of my fathers in the faith, and he led a very wicked life, full of sexual immorality. In fact, he says, his own words in the Confessions were that when it came to sexual sin, he says, I was an abyss of immorality, an abyss of sin.
Wow.
You know? So.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, you know what word just hit me that you said that made me feel a little bit comforted is when you said honesty.
Yeah.
When you said you're being honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit my heart.
I'm glad.
I can look at it in a different way now because of that one word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and take it to the Lord and give it to him. Give these feelings to him and let him purify you. He will.
I will. I know he will.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Thank you so, so much. And thank you for your intelligence and wisdom and guidance, and may God
bless
everything you do, because you're really bringing souls back to him.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Josephine. Very kind of you. I encourage all of you, any of you, whoever you are, if you are struggling with shame or guilt or feelings of remorse for your past life and sins that you've committed, read the Confessions of St. Augustine. Just read it. And it's like reading his diary. And he will explain to you, as Josephine and I were just discussing, he was very honest with God and with himself and with the reader. Now, he doesn't give prurient details. He doesn't tell the story in a way that's going to inflame your imagination and make you have impure thoughts. Not at all. But he gives an analysis of how he, when he was about 15, 16 years old, he fell into sin and he wallowed in it until his early 30s. I think it was 31, 32. When he had his conversion experience. So he wallowed in this for a long time. And it's very instructive because look at him. He became one of the greatest theologians the church has ever had and influenced countless people in the right direction. So we can celebrate his life, but the entirety of his life was not as clean as the wind-driven snow, as he himself says. So if you ever feel like you're really weighed down by the remorse that you feel for your past sins, however embarrassing they may be, read the Confessions, and I think it'll buck you up, and it'll show you that you're in good company.